we don't have any financial connections, and I think that's on the next slide. That's everybody who participated in the study. So I'm supposed to read this. No financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so I just want to set the scene a little bit, and as you think back about the Vietnam era and you look at some of the concerns that the public and the military had about prescription drug use along with alcohol and tobacco. I mean, you kind of think about the veterans and all the things that they had to go through. Back in that time, the military decided that we're going to set some serious policies where we're going to say that we're not going to tolerate drug abuse or misuse or any of those things. We're going to be very strict about our tobacco use, and also we're going to be concerned about alcohol abuse as well. So there are some, let me just let everybody know that there are some strict policies that are out there, and what we are providing to you, we had to go through all kinds of approvals to be able to provide this information to you, because the military is now looking at, let's make sure that we understand about prescription use and abuse and misuse. Before, it wasn't necessarily so transient, but right now it is, and we were very fortunate we were able to provide this to you today. So I'd like to introduce Dr. Bob Ray. He worked with us on the health-related behavior for 30 years. And so if he corrects me about the HRB, it's because he knows a whole lot about it. And so anyway, so let me just go back. When we received the results from the HRB, the health-related behavior study, let me just kind of tell you what that's about. We had about 30,000 people respond to the HRB study. And what it is it is a large anonymous questionnaire that is given out to 300,000 active duty beneficiaries. And what it does is it looks at all types of health related behavior, whether it's prescription abuse or alcohol, tobacco, sexual behavior, nutrition. There's anything dealing with a person's behavior, we will ask a question on the health related behavior survey. What we were concerned about is back in 2000, we had about a 4% 4% of the population, and this is only active duty, it's for all services. Back in 2005, the population, the active duty, said that about 4% said that they misused prescription drugs. And then in 2008, the number increased up to 11%. So we were really, really concerned about how did that happen? And there was a war, and we also know that with war and combat exposure and those kinds of things, major injuries that people are actively involved in, of course, there's going to be a lot of prescription requirements. But anyway, so our Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Clinical and Program Policy said, I need to find as many studies to help me understand more about who's actually involved in misuse of prescription drugs, and let's see what we can do about it. So I just want to briefly talk about these three. One was we did a secondary analysis of the health-related behavior. We also looked at for the second one. I'll talk about these a little bit more. But the second one, we looked at different types of focus groups for physicians that are actually prescribing drugs. And then we also did this online survey that we're going to talk more about. So the first one, which was we conducted the, like I had mentioned before, we did a secondary data analysis on the HRB. And I just wanted to briefly talk about it. There were 11% that said that they misused prescription drugs. The highest category of drugs, which was 17%, was due to pain relievers. And I'll just move on from that point there. And the next one that I wanted to really talk about is we had focus groups with military physicians. There were six military treatment facilities, two for Navy, Army, Air Force. And we really wanted to understand what were some of the concerns that, that these physicians had, and what are some of the interventions that could be done in order to reduce the abuse of or misuse of prescription drugs. Before we go any further, let me just kind of describe, and I know Sarah will talk about this a little bit more, but let me tell you what do I mean by misuse. And what I'm talking about is it is an individual who has been on a medication, on this specific medication for the last 12 months. They've taken more prescription than is prescribed, and they took prescription that was not prescribed to them, or they took medication with alcohol. That is how we define misuse of prescription drugs. On here, we also found from this study was 32%. This is another concern we had, was that 32% of active duty members are saying that they had one controlled drug during fiscal year 2010 as compared to civilian sector, which 14%. In 2008. So we're just concerned there is a difference between the two. And we also looked at opiates. 82% were prescribed that, 25% depressants, and then less than 2% stimulants. And then also many were prescribed psychotropic medications. Another study that we looked at was urinalysis, and anybody who's been in the military before, we all know that we could have a random urinalysis, or if you look like you, or you appear that you're on certain types of prescriptions, they can call you in and say, we need you we need to look at your urine. And so we looked at 2,239, and we found that active duty, these individuals were identified as misusing prescription drugs throughout 2010. I'm sorry, that was a total of 2,239 that were found in the urinalysis program with misusing drugs. And then we also looked at some of the concerns were some of the mental health problems of people self-medicating in order to control some of the symptoms that they have. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and talk about the study, and then I'll come back and I'll talk about some of the implications of this study.
Good afternoon. I'm Sarah Gadsby from Deloitte, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the findings from the survey that we fielded last year. This was a web-based survey of active duty TRICARE beneficiaries over the age of 18. Invitations were sent out through email to about 150,000 randomly selected active duty service members until we reached about 5,000 respondents, which was based on a power calculation to do the types of analyses that we needed to do. It took a little over a month. That was fielded over August to September of last year. We had a 4% cooperation rate, and the margin of error is listed there. I can tell you a little bit about the demographics. There were about 80% were male, about 80% were white, split between about 39% were Air Force, 35% were Army, and 18% were Navy. Ages, it tended to be an older population with about 35% between 30 and 40, another 35% between 40 and 60. And only about, I think it was 22% were under the age of 30, which is slightly different than the overall active duty population. And so we ended up doing some weighting to correct for that to have better estimates of prevalence. So you can see from this slide that that most of the respondents did not report misuse. And again, just to remind you what our definition of misuse was, they had to indicate that they had used some sort of prescription drug over the within the last 12 months, and then either they had to have taken more than was prescribed to them, they used someone else's prescribed drugs, or they used the medication in combination with alcohol. Once we waited to kind of correct for some of the over and under representation, we ended up with a prevalence estimate of about 7.6%, which we feel pretty confident about. You can see that those three different ways that the medication could be misused, pretty similar, all at about between 36% and 41%. You can see here this in terms of the three different major types of medications that we were asking about, you can see that the vast majority involved pain medication, in fact about 90%, some of which is with pain medication alone, and the other was in combination with other types of drugs. 11% stimulants and about 10% depressants. And so these next few slides are going to look specifically at pain medication because it was the most prevalent. When asked why they were prescribed the medication in the first place, the obvious answer, 77%, was because they were in pain. If you look at why they were taking more medication than they were prescribed, you can see that 31% were using it to sleep, 20% were using it to help control their pain, and about 25% were using it to help with either depression, anxiety, or stress. And these next few slides are going to look at kind of some of the profiles of these misusers. About half of them said that they were taking pain medication because it was helping them to perform their job better. And then another 46% said that it had no effect on their work. Looking at the health of misusers, we thought it was important to compare misusers not only to non-users, so people who were not using the medication, but also a more nuanced comparison would be comparing misusers to users. So these are people who are using the same medication or the same type of medication, but they were not misusing it. And you can see here that that there is a gradient effect there, with misusers being nearly twice as likely than users, and 6.5 times more likely than non-users to be either in fair or poor health. In terms of their emotional well-being, let me explain this graph a little bit for you. This is a graph of the ratios. So this is comparing misusers to users, which is the darker blue, and then misusers to non-users, which is the lighter blue. And this is the comparison of how likely they were to say that they always or often felt these emotional distressing emotions. So you can see that misusers were up to 9% more likely to experience emotional distress in one of these ways than non-users, and about between 1.3 and 3 times as likely as users, which may be a better comparison to make, but you can clearly see that there is an increased prevalence of these feelings. I'll let Pat make the final conclusion.
Thank you, Sarah. And so what I'm going to do is just run quickly through some of the takeaways and the conclusions. When all was said and done, Kim had mentioned that at one time there was a measurement of 4%, and another time 11%. When we looked through this and we had finished our analysis, we came at about 7.6% reporting misuse of prescription drugs in this work. We did find that the our results are very consistent with other studies that have been done, and so we feel good and confident about that. It was clear that there are different profiles of well-being for the non-users, the users, and the misusers. So users and misusers report a higher levels of emotional distress. Misusers report higher levels of pain or poor health than do the users. Misusers reported being more likely to have higher levels of fatigue and poor sleep quality than did the users, and misusers were more likely to believe that the medications that they took were helping improve their job performance, either in their ability to do their job or their ability to stay on the job. So our results suggest that misuse is really a coping mechanism, a coping technique for symptom control and for functioning within this population, particularly after injury or some sort of surgical procedure. We see that 51% of the pain medication misusers indicated that their misuse is really coming from them taking more than the prescribed medication, more than what they're prescribed to help them cope with pain or to help them sleep better. And that 47% of pain medication misusers indicated that the medication helped them improve their job performance. In our analysis, it is clear that the probability of misuse is really stemming from psychosocial factors and physical factors rather than from demographic factors. So when we looked at gender, race, age, deployment status, these were not predictors of misuse. But we did see that misusers would rank themselves overall with poor sleep, with poor emotional well-being, and with poor overall self-reported wellness or health status. They also were much more likely to report increased pain, fatigue, or poor sleep. These results that we saw were, as I said before, consistent across other studies that we had looked at, including the ones that Dr. Marshall mentioned, the secondary analysis that we did, the focus group studies, and the others. And so I'm going to turn it back to you, Kim, for just concluding thoughts on education.
Yeah, so we had a couple of implications of our study, and mainly what we're saying is that since 90% of those that were taking these prescription drugs or misuse of prescription drugs, it was mainly because of pain management, all of this work that we have provided to the Department of Defense, they're going to use it. I know the Army has their task force group on pain management, along with numbers of other mechanisms that the military has. And so they're very interested in this study. And also the second implication is that, we've identified that these individuals are truly in severe pain. There's something that we are also talking to physicians about this and pharmacy, and just finding out if maybe physicians and patients aren't necessarily communicating together. Perhaps when a patient comes in, they need to, review all of the pain management, pain medication that they're currently on, to make sure that it's appropriately managing it for these patients, so that perhaps they're not sharing drugs because they feel like they can't have access to what they're trying to get. So that's one, difficult sleeping, those kinds of things. Anyway, I think that in a nutshell, what we're really looking at is just having patients and doctors communicate better together, looking at pain management mechanisms throughout the military. And also, we've talked about electronic health record, perhaps making sure that health record is able to, physicians are able to communicate with each other, because we believe that some of these patients may be doctor shopping, and I know we'll probably talk about that a little bit later, but to make sure that there's a true communication, whether it's patient-physician or physician-to-physician through the electronic health record. Okay, that's all. Thank you.